Stead. Maria, good to speak to you.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Thanks very much indeed. Yesterday, I was reading a comment you posted on a blog. Just tell everyone else the story you'd like us to look at.
Well, about mid-December, I was reading the blog from filmmaker Brian Fleming. He wrote and directed the film The God Who Wasn't There, which is a documentary that lays out the case for the non-existence of a historical Jesus. And as I was reading Brian's blog, he gave a link to the Rational Response Squad's website and where they were conducting this challenge, and they called it the Blasphemy Challenge. And Brian had donated 1,001 DVDs of his film, and he said every person who posts to YouTube a video of themselves denying the Holy Spirit, basically blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is the only unforgivable sin in the Bible, according to the Gospel of Mark, and they would get a free DVD. So, you know, you could trade your soul for a DVD. And that was what got my attention. I thought that it was some sort of dark, gleeful Christmas present for me, because I thought it was hilarious watching all these people denying the Holy Spirit. It was kind of like denying the Tooth Fairy to me. So I really enjoyed it, and I thought, well, you know, this is really kicking up a lot of emotions, too. A lot of people, I mean, I used to be a fundamentalist. If I had seen this, say, 13 years ago, I would have been horrified. So I thought that since the whole point of Brian's DVD was for people to start talking, that I would tell the BBC about it and say, maybe we could talk about this, because it really is the whole point of what he wants to do. He wants people to discuss the issues of faith and why we believe what we believe and why we think what we think.
Well, Maria, and those of you listening around the world, let's hear some clips from those videos right now.
I'm going to be really controversial here. I deny the existence of the Holy Spirit, the existence of Jesus. In fact, he never existed anyway. He was a myth based upon some other Roman gods. I deny the existence of any god. I deny the existence of anything supernatural. So that covers a lot of ground, and I think you get the general message. Don't believe the hype. There's no need to. There's nothing for God to do. There's no gaps. At least the gaps we have at the moment are getting smaller and smaller in our knowledge. So there's no need for God. What would he do or it do? There'd be nothing for God to do.
I deny the existence of the Holy Spirit, God, or any kind of supernatural being. There is absolutely no evidence to support the existence of God. And the so-called Holy Book contradicts itself, contradicts modern moral standards, and contradicts scientific findings. For example, the book says that the world was created only like thousands of years ago. That's a piece of crap.
I'm doing the blasphemy challenge. You have to have believed in Christ to renounce him. Well, to those of you, you can rest assured that by your beliefs, I've got a one-way ticket to hell for what I'm about to say. The Bible, that is supposed to be the perfect word of God, is far from being perfect, chocked full of fallacies, historical and scientific inaccuracies, and flagrant immorality, that Jesus probably didn't even exist. And finally, I realized that the only reason that I'm a Christian is because I was raised by Christian parents in a Christian society. I can easily say now, I deny the existence of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Here we have Balloon Jesus. See? And I feel Jesus is just about as real as Mickey Mouse. Yes. And here we have an X-Acto knife. And don't make me do this. Jesus, pop, pop. Uh-oh, lost the blade.
Lots of people on the website, YouTube, taking the blasphemy challenge, as they're calling it. They're trying to be as blasphemous as they can. Antonio in Mozambique is joining in. He's just texted, God doesn't exist. But are you offended by what these people say? Do you think they ought to be able to go onto YouTube and say whatever they want? Do let us know by the blog, bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay. We've still got Maria in France, who suggested that we talked about this. But the first voice we heard on that tape was Paul in the UK. I'm coming to you in a second, Paul. We've also got Linda in Texas. Many thanks to all of you for joining us. Paul, let me start with this. The obvious question is, why are you filming yourself at home and putting it up on the internet, just like we heard you doing?
Well, I think primarily it was a chance to speak out and to say something that's not often said, particularly in public. And I think that's something that the internet's really given us a chance to do very recently with sites like YouTube. There is a growing community of atheists online, or non-believers, or however you want to refer to them. And I think you're wanting to say, listen, you know, not everybody adheres to these religions. Not everybody's nervous to speak out. And, you know, you shouldn't be frightened either. At the end of the day, religion is an idea, a philosophy, an approach to life. And just like any other idea or philosophy, it should be open to being questioned. And I think many of us felt the idea of blasphemy is something that really reduces our freedom to question.
Let's bring in on the conversation somebody from the perhaps other side. Reverend Timothy F. Simpson in Florida is the president of the Christian Alliance for Progress. Hello, Reverend Simpson. Welcome to the world. Have your say.
My pleasure.
What do you think about all of this, about the blasphemy challenge?
Well, I think it's indicative of two things going on in society. One is the exhibitionist culture that has proliferated with the ease of technological solutions such as YouTube, so that anybody with a video camera and a USB cable can make a fool of themselves or use it as a soapbox or do whatever. Everything from the Osbournes and reality TV to the low-tech solutions of YouTube are indicative of that. But then there's also, I think, a reactive aspect to this, where that the religious right particularly in American Christian circles has created an environment of intolerance, and that is showing up in secularist circles in terms of these kinds of reactions, where the Pat Robertsons and Jerry Falwells and James Dobsons have made all manner of bombastic statements about Muslims and secularists and gays and lesbians over the years, but now the other side of it, the secular folks, are now making just as bombastic statements and throwing their verbal and rhetorical bombs in the other direction.
Reverend Simpson, I don't want to throw any fuel on the fire here, but are you offended by this effort?
I'm not so much offended by it as I am saddened, because I think that it simply adds to the coarsening of culture and creates a deeper cynicism and erodes the kind of mutual respect that one has to have in society. I am, you know, all in favor of people having the right to free expression, and I would not want to do anything to censor people from expressing their opinions. But I would just say it is hurtful and painful when people do this, and that there are many Christians around the world who are grieved by this. And,
Reverend, let me stop you there, because you've made a lot of accusations. You said these people are making a fool. They're eroding respect. It's hurtful. Paul's
I didn't say they were making a fool. I said anybody that wants to can either use it as a soapbox or make a fool of themselves. I wasn't speaking about these people, although some of the people do make fools of themselves.
Okay, but you're still saying it's eroding respect. Paul's one of these people who's put these videos online. Sure. Paul, would you like to speak to the Reverend?
Sure, thanks. Yeah, I mean, in terms of exhibitionism, there are a number of religious people organising perhaps a somewhat smaller backlash at the moment. So perhaps there's exhibitionism on both sides. I mean, I'm based over here in the UK, so I'm not really party to a lot of the things that the Reverend referred to. I mean, from my point of view, last summer the UK government brought in some religious hatred laws, which was to some extent an extension of the blasphemy law. But really over here in the UK, from my point of view, further restricts my freedoms as a non-religious person. I don't have so many protections upon my views of the world as a religious person can do. And so from my point of view, religion is something that I'm increasingly concerned about. Particularly with things like the Iraq war, with the war on terror, many people, including myself, do see a very strong religious element in there. And I just think a lot of us need to say, hang on, hold the horses. I'd like to see this taboo eroded, whereby religious opinion automatically gets respect, almost unquestionably, and that's across almost all cultures around the world. And I think it's about time we were able to say, hey, listen, you know, I disagree. And I don't think really the blasphemy challenge was as disrespectful as some people may think it is. And I've certainly seen some strong responses, but I don't think.
Paul, I agree with you. I think that this is that what you've said here is a thoroughly rational response, and it's the kind of response that I think would appeal actually to many Christians. But when you do something, when you take a particular biblical text like the one in Mark chapter 3 that is sacred to a group of people, mm-hmm. and you trample on that in your expression of your viewpoint, it touches the most visceral aspects of people's deepest convictions, and you lose the very capacity to reason with the people that you're trying to reason with because of you're so offensive. This what you've just said here is very reasonable, and I think that most Christian Americans, even conservative ones, would buy into that, because it's a you should have the right to believe or not to believe.
Reverend Simpson, I'm going to interrupt you right now just to bring in a couple of other listeners. Ken in Cleveland writes that monotheists shouldn't be surprised that atheists are finally uniting to voice their distrust of religion. World politics have long been dominated by the ulterior motives of organized religion. The most flagrant examples are all of the wars fought in the name of one god or another. That, to me, would define blasphemy, not the words of those that choose not to believe. And we're also welcoming to the program now Linda from Austin, Texas. She's called us, or we've gotten in touch with her via phone. Hello, Linda. Welcome to World Have Your Say.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. I really have to go back to what the Reverend was saying about how this is offensive to Christians as a whole. Looking at YouTube right now, if you pull it up and type in Blasphemy Challenge, there's currently 828 videos. And quite frankly, it's the same logic that can be applied for parenting in terms of TV. If you do not want to watch something, don't turn it on. If you're going to be offended by a young person, and actually, even though this is being targeted towards a young demographic, the Rational Response League is wanting young people to do this. There are 50, 60, 70-year-olds on there posting their videos. If you're going to be offended by the content, don't go to YouTube and don't search for the videos to watch.
Linda, thank you very much indeed for calling. Linda saying, if you don't want to see this stuff, just don't look at it. Margaret's just texted from Uganda saying, everyone is entitled to their beliefs, but the fact remains that those of us who believe in Jesus have an experience never to be denied. It's reality. And just reading YouTube, Wino General's just posted, I just find it sad that people feel a need to showboat their bravado or religious rebellion like this. All this does is bait people and make us more distrustful of one another. Let's take the global conversation live on the BBC and on WCP. In Cleveland to Teresa in London. What would you like to say, Teresa?
Well, as a believer, I think it's a good idea that people should be able to say what they think. Apart from anything else, they have a right to freedom of speech. That's one thing. But another thing is that you get a lot of people who are non-believers, but they're very good moral, ethical people. And it actually puts a stop on some of the ones who profess to believe but don't practice very well. It makes them behave themselves a little better than they might otherwise do, which is always to the good. Apart from anything else, if somebody doesn't truly believe, but they make themselves say that they do, they're denying something in themselves, and they don't become a believer, they become a fanatic. And fanatics are a nuisance. I think there must be a stench in God's nostrils.
Well, she thinks that she's a believer, but she thinks the blasphemy challenge is a good idea. Maria, I want to turn back to you right now. This whole conversation was your idea. What do you make of all of this?
I'm really happy that we're having this conversation. I think everyone's had some good points. I think the Reverend's had some good points. I've agreed with a lot of what Paul said. I think it was actually me who sent the BBC Paul's link to his video. It was one of my favorites. And I'm just really glad that it's happening. We don't talk about these things. I have to say, having come from the other side, I was a fundamentalist, I was a Christian for many, many years, and now I'm on the other side. I still pay in some ways for the way I treated people when I was a Christian, and I know what is happening over on the other side in the name of love, in the name of a lot of things, not intentionally. It's not intentional hurt, I don't think, but there's a lot of, I think what the Reverend was saying, especially the atmosphere in the U.S., I think the environment is very hostile between evangelical Christianity and the rest of the world. It's very, very adversarial. So I'm glad that atheists have a forum to speak, because I think they have a lot of very important things to say. I think when we talk about religious freedom, we have to keep in mind that blasphemy was still illegal in some U.S. states. I think it was even just 50 years ago. I think it was in 1952 that the U.S., the federal government finally ruled that that was against the First Amendment.
Well, Maria, we're very grateful for you getting in touch with us and suggesting the story.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Well, please do it again. Thank you to Maria there calling from France. Also, Teresa in London and Reverend Timothy Simpson on the phone from Florida. If you want to suggest a story at any time, 24 hours a day, go to the blog at bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay. We read every single thing you send us. We promise. This email from Kim Olsen saying, I have a hard time seeing how someone letting people know they don't believe in God is much different to those people who constantly announce that they do believe in God. And just looking at our text console, this from Emeka in from Sokoto in Nigeria, who says, whoever says God and the Trinity doesn't exist would say that to God on Judgment Day. You'd better repent fast. We're going to leave that story from Maria for the moment. If you do want to keep on talking about it, do go to the blog. But we're going to go back